Story was told of an old monk. Every year, among all the monks, the old monk will render a song of worship. And year after year, this old monk would sing a song to Jesus at Christmas time. But as years go by, the monk got older and older. And a committee was formed to celebrate the next Christmas. And the committee decided that perhaps it's about time to retire the old monk. And so, what he did, the committee decided was, we'll get a new monk who has got more singing power, who has got trained in singing and ran the next Christmas song. So, that Christmas, the young monk came. He sang beautifully. He had a powerful voice. He could articulate the song in greater clarity. And Christmas was over. That night, the old monk went to bed. And God appeared to him in a dream. And God said to this old monk, "Hey, where is my song? Where's my Christmas song?" And the monk said, "Lord, didn't you hear? Our young monk, the talented young monk, sang that Christmas song so beautifully. Everybody cheered. Didn't you hear?" And God said, "No, I didn't hear. I've been waiting for your song. Where is my song? My Christmas song. Song of worship." Oh, the old monk said, "You mean the song didn't appear in your throne room?" God said, "No, I didn't hear anything. I'm still waiting for my Christmas song." And so the old monk began to think, what happened? What short-circuited? And then finally he discovered that God only hears a song that comes from the heart. Not just a song that you can perform and show great ability in singing. No, some of you just now, you're not got a good singer, but you sang from your heart. God wants you to know that that song arrived and he heard it. But if you didn't sing, God is still waiting to hear his song. Have you got a song for Jesus? Every year Christmas comes, we sing carols. The whole world sing carols. We sing, "Oh, Holy Night." And then some of us wonder, what's so holy about the night? It's a night divine. Why is it divine? Because that was the night that God fulfilled his promise for 4,000 years. God had promised to Adam that he would come, born of a woman's seed. And Christmas time is a time we think about God's fulfillment of his promise. Christmas time is a time of fulfillment, that God kept his promise that he would come. And so every year when Christmas time comes, learn the song of the redeemed ones. One of the great songs, "Oh, Holy Night." Because that night was set aside. That's why it's holy. set aside for the Jesus to arrive on planet Earth, which he promised long, long ago. And so today, as we think about Jesus' first coming, official coming, I'd like you to recognize that if you know he has come, as you celebrate Christmas, have you brought something? Don't come empty-handed. Bring a song of the redeemed ones, a song of praise, a song that will rise right up to heaven and reach his throne. And that song is a good song. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is a night when our Savior was born. He was born, and yet he was not born. Because the prophets of old said that a son will be given, not born, but a child will be born. Meaning, Jesus will come as a child, but he will be the Son, God the Son, given by the Father. Because God so loved the world. So as we think this morning about Christmas time, let's put aside the world's Christmas idea. It's, the world's idea about Christmas is about trees, about an old man with a white beard who laughs a lot. It's the world's celebration of Christmas is about flying reindeers, pulling carriages that also flies. But the truth is, Jesus, for the first time, stopped flying because he became a man, just like you and I. So it was a fulfillment of his promise. Jesus himself promised that I will come. He came the first time 2,000 years ago, but he will be coming again. Because he fulfilled the first promise, he'll fulfill the second, that he'll come again. So as we celebrate Christmas, we are always looking backwards to Jesus' first coming, and we look forward to Jesus' forthcoming. So today I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' fulfillment. In John chapter 8, Jesus spoke again. He has been speaking, and then when he resumed speaking, this was in Jerusalem. This was the week before he was crucified. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am is a starting word which God always used when he introduces himself. He calls himself, I am. Who are you? I am that I am. I'm the one who existed before. I am always in existence. I will be always in existence. I am. I am means that he's here with us as we worship Jesus. Do you know that every time we worship Jesus and God with our hearts, he comes. He's present. He inhabits the praises of his people. So on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, try and think, what can I bring to Jesus? Maybe a song of worship. But Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. And if any man follows me, he will never walk in darkness. So light and darkness are opposites. What do you mean by light? What do you mean by darkness? So let me give a little bit of explanation. Darkness is always in connection with, well, we say the absence of light. Darkness is associated with sin and death. Darkness is always associated with hell and suffering. When we say it's a dark period of my life, we say that's not a happy time. So darkness always speaks of the time of misery, of control by the devil himself. The devil loves darkness. When Jesus came, he said, many people rejected him because men love darkness rather than light. This is our tendency. We love darkness. We love sin. So darkness speaks about sin and rebellion against God. So Jesus is now, our Lord said, I'm the light of the world, meaning I'm bringing to you light. And God in ancient times always manifests himself as light. In the beginning, there was no light. Then there was darkness in the whole universe. And the first thing God commanded happened was, let there be light. So why is this light so important? We know the common benefits of light. The first, you can never walk safely in the darkness. You need to see where you're going. If you don't have a light, you will definitely fall, especially if you walk in a place where there are no roads. So we always, when I work in the as a consultant to the shipyards, and I often have to go into the hull of a ship, the super tankers, and we are required to carry a light because it's too dark. You might not be able to find your way out. So we need light. Now, there is no such thing as light unless God created it. So the first thing God did was declared, let there be light. But fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus said, if your eye is full of darkness, how great is the darkness? That means your eyes, your perception can be in darkness. Meaning to say you're groping in the dark, you don't know what is life? You don't know what is the truth about God. You don't know how you can get to know God. You have no relationship to God. So a lot of people will have their own imagination. Oh, I think God is like this. God can be bribed if I can donate a bit extra money to his temple. Maybe I'll get some favor. We think in terms of God like a human being, just like we are. In fact, all of us behave in exactly the same way we believe what God is like. So our sense of life and moral is darkness. We also think our God is just like us, full of darkness. So now Jesus came, he said, I am the light of the world. If any man follow me, if anyone follows me, he will never walk in darkness. That's a wonderful thing. That means you'll never stumble and fall. Without light, you can never walk steadily. You'll never find a way without light. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So the first coming of Jesus is very important. He came to show us what God is like. So the first thing, you know, in ancient times, people always think of God as their own, just like them. But Jesus came to show us what is truly, God truly is. Because the scripture says, no man has seen God except the Son. That means Jesus himself. And so Jesus said, I've come to reveal him, God the Father, what God is like. So if you look at what Jesus has said, what Jesus has done, what Jesus had fulfilled, that is God. That's the I am God. Secondly, he came because he is the way of life, the way to eternal life. So Jesus came that we might have life. So as the light, because in the Apostle John said this, that Jesus is the light, and the light is the light of life. That means this light leads us to have eternal life. In other words, without Jesus, without the first Christmas, there is no eternal life. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to enjoy life to the fullness, then you need to know Jesus. And you need to follow Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life, and life in abundance. That's why Jesus came, to fulfill this promise of eternal life. And he showed us the way so that we know how to live. But there's a promise that he made, he fulfilled, because in the ancient times, 700 years before Jesus came, a prophet Isaiah gave a whole chapter in Isaiah chapter 60 that the light will come. And not only Zebulun or Israel will see the light, but it's a light also to the Gentiles. That means us, non-Jews. So the light was not just for the Jewish people to know how to worship God, but the light was also to show us Gentiles, non-Jews, that we may also belong to God's family. So Isaiah 60 says, the light has come. The light has risen upon you and has risen upon the Gentiles as well. So it includes us. No, Christmas is not for the Jews. In fact, the Jews sometimes don't celebrate Christmas. But God has promised that the light will shine. And that night on Christmas, first Christmas day, Jesus came. All of you know the story, right? But what's the purpose? To shine upon us. You know the phrase to shine upon somebody. What does it mean? We say, oh, that person, his stars are shining. Oh, he shines. Oh, he outshines. What does it mean? It means he is being able to be more than what everybody else is. He's outstanding. Do you know when Jesus came, he not only shined, he told us to rise and shine. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But when he came to talking to the disciples and the Christians, he says, you are the light of the world. You are called upon to shine. And there's a little song that children used to sing, you know, this little light of mine. Have you heard of this song? Very good. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen. Don't just... Good. Hey, all of us are supposed to shine. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A light that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. It must shine. Some people say, I'm very humble. I cannot shine. The only thing I shine is my shoes. Well, hey, that's not what you're destined for. That's why Jesus said that if your eye have darkness, it's very deep darkness. And you can only be set free as you walk with Jesus. When Jesus came as light, you know, when you walk with Jesus, you will shine. in God's eyes. How do you do it? So the Apostle John wrote in a letter in 1 John, he said, if you walk in the light of Jesus, in the light of Jesus' commandments, in the light of Jesus' example, if you walk in the light, then God says that if you sin, you make mistakes, all you have to do is confess your sin, and your sins will be forgiven. Provided you walk in the light of Jesus. But if you walk in your own darkness, there is no forgiveness. Only if you walk in the light. That's why Jesus came to give the light. Now, many people ask to see the light, and the light is Jesus. You know, the wise men from the east, the Bible doesn't say there were 12 wise men. And the Bible also said didn't say there were no wise women. So we just want to highlight one thing. The Bible says that the wise men came to a king, and they saw the light. They saw the light from afar. We don't know how far, but it must be at least thousands of kilometers away. They saw the light. That light was the star, and they saw the star in the west. But they were in the east when they saw the star in the west. Okay, the star was in the west. They were in the east. So we are in the east. So we look to Jesus, who was born in the west. Okay, actually, Israel is neither east nor west. It's supposed to be in the middle of the earth. Okay, but they saw the star. And because they saw the star, they came to another king called King Herod, a wicked king, and asked, where is he? Where is the king? Where is the king that is born, the king of the Jews? Where is he? You know, that's a question that if you are shining for Jesus, you need to answer this question. People will ask, where is he? Where is Jesus? You need to know where to point to Jesus. But Herod didn't know. And so he called all the wise men that knew something about the Bible, gathered all of them in a big conference and asked, where is he born, the king of the Jews? And the answer was, they all knew. They said, in Bethlehem, Bethlehem of Judah. There are two Bethlehems, by the way, one in the north, one in the south, in Bethlehem, Judah, or in Hebrew, we say Bethlehem Ephratah. All of them knew where the Redeemer will come, where the light of the world will come, but did they believe it? Of course not. They believe it in theory, but they don't believe in their hearts. Because if they did, they would have gone with the wise man to Bethlehem. Nobody went out to Bethlehem. Maybe it was late night and they were a bit tired. I remember it was quite late night that night, Christmas Eve, 1968. I was in Jerusalem, and a few of us said, hey, it's Christmas Eve. We must go and worship the king. Let's, like the wise man, let's go to Bethlehem. In those days, there was no straight road to Bethlehem. It was a winding road through the mountainside. And it was already 11 p.m. I was getting a bit sleepy. I must confess, my enthusiasm was waning. But there was a man in the group who was very angry that none of us want to go to Bethlehem except him. He said, what is this? We have come a long way from the east. And Just because it's 11 p.m., you want to go to bed, you don't want to go to Bethlehem. What kind of man are you? You're certainly not like the wise man. Oh, I was so tired that night. It was a rebuke to me. I said, you are coming to Bethlehem, just 10 kilometers away, and you stop. So I decided, okay, I'll go. Sleepy, but I'll go. We arrived at midnight, Christmas Eve, and I went straight to look for the manger. I saw the little town was just as the days of Herod, because the scribes told him he was born in that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It's a little town, and they quoted the prophet Micah. Because the prophet Micah said, and you, Bethlehem, though you are little among all the cities, out of you will come the ruler for Israel. You'll be the ruler out of Bethlehem. So that Christmas Eve, I arrived in Bethlehem. I couldn't see the town because it was so small. But I went straight to look for the place. They say they had a memorial star on in the old manger, they said. Of course, I didn't see any donkeys or any cows or any animals. So they had put a big star on the spot. They said, Jesus was born here. It used to be a manger. Well, I'm not so sure whether it was truly the manger, but Bethlehem isn't such a big town. So any spot, as long as Bethlehem, it must be a manger. It's an agricultural town. And then people from all kinds of countries were there. Some were Dutch, some were African, some were I don't know what language. And then somebody sang Silent Night, Holy Night. And all of us join in, each different languages. So, you know, learn your carols. Because anywhere in the world, when you start singing, those who are other Christians will join you. That's how you find Christians. And it cannot be that you came this morning and you didn't sing. Or you didn't sing the best you could. It was rather soft. But that was Christmas Eve. It was a little town. As spoken of many 800 years before, 600 years before by Micah the prophet. So we know that Jesus fulfilled this prophecy that he will come in Bethlehem. But later on, Jesus said, I'm going to come again, but this time no Bethlehem. He will come on the Mount of Olives. So one of the things God always does is he fulfills what he promised by stating time, place. In Bethlehem, the prophet Daniel said very clearly that which year he will come. And it should be 62 weeks of years, which is 434 years from the giving of a decree by one of the Persian kings. But now Jesus have a countdown for the coming of Jesus a second time. Because in this prophecy by Micah, he said that out of him, out of this place will come one who will be a ruler. But Jesus has not fulfilled the second part. But he is coming back as a ruler of Israel and then of the whole world. That will come later. It's coming. So you need to know that every time God promised, like this case, the word of prophet Micah, there are two parts. He will come. He'll be born in Bethlehem. Yes, a city of dead. Yes, but the second part, the ruler, not yet. He's coming again. as a ruler. And that's the countdown I've given you 2 weeks ago in my message. I give you the countdown. But he always fulfills his promises. But coming back to the story of the wise man, so let me give you a summary of what I just spoken. Let me use my mind map here. We are now talking about Jesus. Okay, let me take this out. First of all, we want to talk about Jesus. The prophet said, let me see whether I focus. Is it focused, Jack? So now, Jesus was the name that was given to him, and he had to fulfill it. It was a name given long ago. The name of Jesus means Jehovah, our Savior. But his name was given by Prophet Daniel, that he'll be called the Messiah, or in English, we call it Christ. So he is Jesus. So the angels, did they sing? It says the heavenly host came praising God. Probably they sang, because when the heavenly host gathers, they like to sing. When Christians gather, they like to sing to Jesus. So the first thing you need to know is where. Where was he from? And the question was, where is he who is born the King of the Jews? And he fulfilled it. He has to be born a king. All kings have to be born in a kingly family. So we have got here, he was born in the king's family. So the Bible says he was a descendant of David. So he had to be born in the same place that King David was born 1,000 years before. And as the light of the world, how do we know he's the right one? Because the prophet said that he would come down from the line of King David and estimated around roughly 36 generations. So David, Solomon, and on, and one of the later ones called Zerubbabel, and all, many more generations. So he came all the way down. So he fulfilled the kingly requirement. It's as the light of the world, he must be the king. And therefore, did he fulfill it? Yes, he did, because he came from the kingly line, from King David. So we always have to ask, where was he from? Was he from, he's a descendant of David? Yes. But the prophet Michael said, his origins were from ancient times or from eternity. So, I've given you here in this picture, ancient times from eternity. Okay. It's from eternity. So, every time you sing of the Christmas songs, remember Jesus did not come to be born as a son. He was born as a child, as a human being. But he was from ancient times, from eternity past. He came from eternity, and he dwells in eternity. And he comes into time. All right. So he's of the kingly line. But he came from heaven. Do not think Jesus is just born like you and me. You see, you and me, we don't have a choice where we are going to be born. None of us have a choice as to when we are going to be born. But Jesus chose it because he came from heaven. He came to dwell among us. so that we may know what God is like. So he's God the Son. In heaven, he's worshipped as God the Son. And he wants on earth for us to do what he is worshipped in heaven. So we talk about where was he from. So in Christmas time, you need to be very clear where he was from. All right. But you also need to know where is he going to. Where to? Well, Jesus, at the end of his assignment, he said, I'm going back to my hometown. I'm going back to heaven. In the Gospel of John, Jesus always fulfilled the statement that I'm from above, you are from below. So there is a difference. So where is he gone to? In his ascension, he went back to heaven. So today, we can also belong. But he will return as a ruler of the world and the ruler of Israel. But the first time he came, he was Emmanuel. Yes, God with us. But he had to go back. But he'll come back again. Because of your faith in Jesus, he will always be with you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the age when the earth is gone. I'll be with you. When Jesus came, his purpose was to be with us forever and that we will be with him forever and ever. That gives us hope. So, what I want you to know is, when he returns, will he find you as a person with faith in him, one who belongs to him? He did say before he left, he said that when the Son of Man comes back, when I come back, I wonder whether I will find any faith in people. Because so many people are dropping out of the faith because of their choice. Many will depart from the faith in Jesus. Will you be one of them? So Jesus said, I wonder whether I'll find people of faith when I come back the second time. So what do you need to do? So in closing, I just want to introduce you one or two things you can do while Jesus... First thing, look forward to Jesus' return. All right. In the days of the Gospels, they were looking forward to Jesus coming. And when the Bible says in the fullness of time, exactly as predicted by the prophet Daniel, people like Zechariah was waiting. People like the prophetess Anna was waiting. So the moment Jesus walked in, they recognized straight away. But, sad to say, King Herod did not recognize Jesus. Sad to say, the world in darkness loved darkness rather than light. But are you looking forward to the coming of Jesus the second time? Because Jesus has not died, he had risen. He's coming back as king. He came as savior. But today, we are looking forward to a king that will return. He'll return as a judge and a rewarder of those who keep faith with him. Will you be one of those who keep faith with him until he comes? So next week, next Sunday, we are going to have a sunrise service. And by the beach. You know, one of the things that I always look forward to is this baptism day. Because at the time of baptism, always, who will be present? The Holy Spirit will be present. God the Father will be present. Jesus will be watching. Because he was the one who said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's his last command. And if you are one of those who are going to be baptizing someone, hey, I think the Lord is very happy. He's watching and rejoicing that you have obeyed. So the second thing beside, the first thing is to wait for his coming. The second thing is, can you celebrate his command to make disciples by baptizing someone? If you're going to be baptized next Sunday, well, rejoice, because, you know, I think many miracles happen. For me, one miracle that happened was on the day I was baptized. You see, my father was a temple chief. He already told me, I don't want any of my kids to bring shame to me by becoming Christians. All right? You must be a Taoist like me. I'm a Taoist chief. And if you go and believe in another God, I'll lose face. So with fear and trembling, as a teenager, I decided, after asking him for permission, he never gave. He didn't say yes. But since he didn't say no, I went ahead. But on the day I was baptized, something happened in his spirit. Suddenly, when he walked into the church, my elder said to him, Jesus, peace, fill your heart. Remember this song, O Holy Night? The gospel is peace. His gospel is peace. So my elder spoke peace to him that day. One sentence in Malay language. And my father didn't understand English. Suddenly happened, it's like a switch has been thrown. And evening he came back and I, he asked me, he said, son, can you find me a church? I said, find church? But you are Taoist chief. He said, no, church. I said, what do you want to go to church for? I hope you don't come and scold people in the church. No, he said, son, I want to follow Jesus. I said, what? You just came to my baptism, you came late, everything was over, and my elder say one word to you, you switch like that. He said, son, you don't understand. I just felt the power of God because the gospel is peace. I felt the peace of Jesus in my heart that I've never felt in my whole life. I want to follow Jesus. So you see, when you obey Jesus to be baptized, or you obey Jesus to baptize someone, miracles happen. Some of you say, oh, maybe seldom happen. That's because of darkness. You don't expect any. There's one guy who worshiped the devil. He called himself devil's angel. And he put a tattoo on his shoulder, a character with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. Of course, that's a devil, right? He worshiped the devil. But on the day he believed in Jesus, he said, "Aiya, what an embarrassment. When I go down to be baptized, then people see this devil's picture here. How embarrassing." But he said, I will obey Jesus nonetheless. So that day he was baptized. When he came out of the water, the tattoo of the devil disappeared. Now, that's miraculous. Expect some miracles in your life. You know, when you obey Jesus, there will be miracles. You need to experience it. So in closing, what I want you to know is this. Jesus fulfilled his promises. He always does. And when he makes a promise that he's coming back, he will come back. When he makes a promise that if you will obey him, he will be with you always. This will be two things you can consider for the next year. Next Christmas, bring something to Jesus. Maybe bring a friend. Maybe baptize someone. Maybe just learning to honor Jesus every week as we gather together. What will you bring to Jesus for the next Christmas? Let's close. Let's bow our heads. I just want you to be quiet. Just want you to know that Jesus always fulfills his promise. When he says he is coming, he comes. When he commands us to do something, as a promise that he will be with us, he will fulfill it. Wonder, what are you bringing to Jesus Christmas Day, this week and next week and next year? Do you want to tell Jesus, like the wise men from the east, I will be a worshipper of Jesus? If so, just tell him, now, the Lord is here. If some of you here said, Lord, by the next Christmas, I'd like to be obeying your command to baptize someone, tell the Lord that. Just inform him. As you look forward to Jesus coming, will you tell the Lord, Lord, I will, when you come, you'll find me to be a man or a woman of faith, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just as you promise, you will never leave me or forsake me. Three things. What do you tell the Lord Jesus? What do you like to offer to him? Shall we just stand as for closing prayer? Heavenly Father, I bless your people tonight, this day, this morning, that there will be no darkness in any of their lives. That light has shone and the light has risen, not only over the Jews, but over the Gentiles. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us light so that we don't have to walk in darkness, so that we don't have to walk in sin, because, Lord, you have told us the light has risen over us. And therefore, Father, I just speak right now for that blessing that Moses spoke, that, Lord, you let your light so shine in everyone, that your light will shine into our hearts, that, Lord, our worship of you will be genuine, that our walk with you, you will be faithful, that your gospel is peace will be the bring the shot with the gospel of peace as we go our own way. I bless every family here that has come as a family. Lord, there will be a new level of strong family ties and relationship centered around Jesus, Lord, in the coming year. I speak success upon young people here who, our Lord Jesus will be real in their lives. There will be no darkness. They will not join the darkness of the world. They will walk in the light. They will rise up and shine for you, so that, Lord, they will shine even with the work of their hands. Some of them are in college. Lord, let them be able to see how they will shine as a student. For mothers here, they will shine in their teaching of their children. And for fathers here, they will shine as great examples that the children will look up to and say, my father walks like Jesus walked. Father, I just ask for this blessing upon your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.